This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 19th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is More on Machines. This tape is 49 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly, as did the original master recording.
Okay, and this is the first afternoon hour of November the 19th. This afternoon, I wish to assure the ladies and gentlemen present that I better get in the pitch. In spite of your feeling of irresponsibility toward your people, just roll up your sleeves. Because I think every one of you is absolutely, completely, and wholly, and totally, and only responsible for the states of case of everybody else present. That is something that would be calculated, if you didn't look at it the right way, to bog everybody down. Well, it'll bog you down unless you bog everybody up. So, this is a case of bootstrap lifting. Operation Bootstrap that you hear going around the field I was talking about a couple of years ago. That's all they wear out there in Kansas, is boots with stuff on them. Anyway, we have a little problem. That problem consists of just that effect. And when we give an analysis to this problem, we look it over from every angle, and we hold it up, and we try to shoot significance under it and over it and around it, we can look straight back to the answer at the first line in the factors. Cause to produce an effect. All right. When people slide over onto reception of effect, they don't exteriorize because they're on the receiving end. Just that. I mean, what do I mean by receiving end? If I picked up took off a shoe and threw it at the wall was on the receiving end. Well, I'm throwing the shoe at the wall. The wall's on the receiving end, so is the shoe on the receiving end. Now, the shoe is on the sending end at the moment I throw it, and on the receiving end at the moment it hits the wall, right? Any thetan who considers himself a communication particle, or who is himself more anxious to receive effects, so forth, is analogous to that shoe. He wants somebody to throw him and receive him. Well, how do we bail somebody out of this state? We push him up to being more cause and less effect. The final analysis, all this is based on postulates. I was working on something this morning that I worked on many times before, and it was as successful this morning as it has always been. And that is on the basis of postulates. An effect that mustn't be unmade. How do you suppose this stuff keeps standing up? Why do you suppose Preclear starts breathing a sigh of relief on this stuff? Every time he finds out it doesn't fall down, it means his postulates are good, that's all. It's mocked up and not supposed to be unmocked. You're mocked up as cases and you're not supposed to be unmocked. And the basic postulate on this whole line is mock it up so good that it can't be unmocked. And then you never added, also, it can be unmocked by me. It has never added that. Slight omission. It's a lack of trust. Lack of trust in the final analysis in yourself. You're afraid someday you'll carelessly fall over a tomato can or something and accidentally unmock everything and then not know how to mock it up again. You'll know how to mock it up. How do you know how to mock it up? Well, if you're unwilling to look at somebody else's universe or through somebody else's perceptions, if you're unwilling to do this, you'll never know how to mock it up again, will you? Isn't that a grim thought? You won't ever know how it looks. People, when they're fairly high on the band, like very much to have other people around. They'll always know how to mock it up. All they got to do is take a squint at the universe and bang. Now, a lot of people are playing the dirty trick of hiding their own universes to such an extent that nobody else will know how to mock it up. And a lot of other people are playing it to such an extent that they have chosen themselves out of groups to such a degree that if they ever forget now, they're done, because they can't look at somebody else's conception of what it is and so get it mocked up once more. So, for lack of trust in self and so on, people say, all right, now it is mocked up. And it will resist all effects. It is mocked up and will resist all effects. Unmocking it is an effect. In fact, the only effect it can receive after it's mocked up is to be altered or unmocked. It's the only effects that it can receive. It can't be mocked up again. Once you've set up something that mocks it up, it's real cute. You can take a piece of mess and you can go this way and you say, look, it's real. All right, that big postulate there. It will resist all effects. It's sitting on your right ear, on your left ear, on the tip of your nose, on the top of your head, on the tips of your toes, in your shoes, in the clothes closet, in the bedroom, the attic, the skies, the heavens, all the stars. Every place, sitting up here. It's sitting there for everybody else. It mustn't be unmarked. Which is, it must resist all effects. Now, you expect somebody to carve into your bank and buy, preferably, necromancy. Unmark it. The compound of machinery, the compound of effects, which now must never receive another effect. It must never happen again is another variation of stating. It must resist that effect. I must resist that effect. You run into a brick wall, and it damages the skull, and it injures the beauty or something of the sort, and you pull off of it, and you say, boy, that must never happen again, and so it becomes a landmark. It must never happen again. I must resist that effect. And then you go on a little bit further, and you see something else happens. You say, well, I must resist that effect. That effect must never happen again. Resist the effect. Resist the effect. And so we have these postulates. So a person cannot even unmock his own postulates. I tested this once more, and it was very delightful to me that this is still holding true. It's been going on for many months. Every once in a while, I'll test out this postulate. And then I kind of have a tendency to forget it, and then I'll pick it up again, because it seems so obvious to me. As a matter of fact, I upset the priest that's working this morning for the excellent reason that I almost had hysterics every time somebody does this. It's so weird. It's like giving somebody a glass of water to drink and then have them getting very puzzled over this glass of water. Okay, what are they drinking? And they start holding a long dissertation or something of the sort on whether this is water or isn't water, and so on. Do that trick this way. You have a person sectionally unmock his body where it's sitting after you've had him unmock enough other things in the room around him and in the universe around him so you're sure he can unmock things. So you have him unmock a lock of hair and then one ear and so on and put it back each time and then unmock it and mock it up and mock it and unmock it and go on with the body gradually until he's perfectly willing to see a completely empty chair. Of course, that's the trick. The chair is completely empty. All right. It's for him, the chair is completely empty. If he unmocked it for you, too, you wouldn't see him at all. You don't bother to go into that end of the technique, because that's just adding more to it. Now, the point we have here is that as you unmock the body and mock it up again, and unmock it and mock it up again, have mock up several more bodies of various kinds in the chair, and then you go on this one. Now, mock up a body that will resist all effects. You shoot this to him. You get various reactions on the first one. Sometimes the body doesn't appear again. You say, now mock one up, but resist all effects, and they just get no body. Of course, that is the best body in the world to resist all effects. And then you insist that they put a body there that will resist all effects, and they will put some kind of an idea of themselves there. Satan. See, that's real good. Now you say, unmock it. They stay there, of course. And then it's like you've handed somebody a glass of water who is very thirsty, and they keep asking you, well, what do I do with it? And it just gets that silly. Every time I do this, it just appears to be very funny. They try to unmark it, and they try to unmark it, and you actually, every once in a while, have to call it sharply to their attention, which is why I'm lecturing on it rather than giving it a group process. Call it to their attention. Look, hey, what postulate did you mark it up with? Well, it will resist all effects, they'll say. Is unmarking an effect? Yes. Well, now, unmark it. Doesn't unmark. You want to see somebody not look at something, but just pull this on a PC that knows nothing about it at all. And boy, you talk about not look at something, that just keeps eluding them. Keeps eluding them. You put this red sign in front of their face and say, look, see, and they just don't look at all. So after a while, they suddenly catch on. Oh, yeah, I said it was just all effect. Unmarking is an effect. And it was just all effect. Well, of course, I can't unmark it. What do you know? It should be. It will resist all effects except my efforts to unmark or change it. Except my efforts. Never had that. That's because, you see, they're in a desperate condition usually when they make this. Every once in a while, they get real desperately buoyed. They make something like this, put up some barriers and limitations. Now they're going to resist all effects. That's part of the game. Screens, barriers. Now back of these black screens and so forth, some of you have been running this morning and so forth, there's that. It must not be destroyed, which is resist all effects. Now, when you put must not be destroyed and you alter that to must resist all effects, you see then why it doesn't unmark. I mean, you go down the track then and you just start shooting this postulate at you. There's many ways you can handle it. You can double terminal a darn postulate. You can start making it up in bales. Of course, the best thing to do is just have the person continue to unmark something and then mark something up in its place which must resist all effects and then make him unmark it. And he'll just continue to do this. You do it with mess, you do it with other people, you do it with everything, until he just keeps busting his own postulate. And all of a sudden he says, well, heck, look, that postulate isn't that rigid. Right. Okay. You're returning to him with this drill of mark and unmark. Now you mark something up to resist all effects. Then unmark it. Now sometimes you have to flip it to the pre-clear, pretty strong, and say, now resist all effects. Now get real determination there. That's really going to work now. Okay, and again, unmark it. That's why this stuff gets so permanent. That's why your own bank gets so darn permanent, why the case doesn't want to alter. Well, if something's going to resist all effects, and you've got a machine which duplicates all effects, and that machine is going to resist all effects, it's just going to keep on duplicating each and every effect, isn't it? So when the bad effect happens to you, it'll duplicate you. This is nice. Duplicate. It'll make facsimiles, and they cave in on you. It'll make ridges, and they'll cave in on you, and everything. And all these things that it makes probably are going to resist all effects, too. It probably makes everything and puts the postulate into a second hand, you see. Well, that's real good. Okay, right here. Early with this unit, let's just do the basic drills, whether we understand them or think they work or don't think they work or anything else. And let's do them in a group so that we bust the third dynamic at the same time. Let's bust through on that third dynamic. Because anybody who's playing the only one, to any degree whatsoever, best medicine I can hand him at all is to share with a group this process. Now you bust the three then without even looking at it. Pick oneself up with a scruff of the neck and shove oneself into the group and do the group some good and be done some good. You've all of a sudden given the guy back a new pattern in case he forgets it all. He's perfectly willing then to enter somebody else's universe and take a look. Oh, well, that's the way it looks. Bang, duplicate. There it is again. Messed. Now, how do you make something unmark? Well, you don't just tell a fellow, now look at this room, now unmark it. First step, see? Bog. You tell them to look at some simple object which has very little value in the room. And have it make it get thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker. Less visible, more visible, less visible, more visible. On a tiny gradient scale until it gets thin, 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 thin. Now thick, 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 thin, 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 thin. He began to argue with you after a while. Why don't you let me make it disappear? You say, all right, unmark it. He will. After that, he has very little trouble unmarking mist. Now, he does this best with his eyes shut, because the mist eyes are so convinced. And they're really convinced. There's no sense in putting that additional arbitrary in it. If he's still in his body, let him do it with his eyes shut. You find out all these processes are more effective with the eyes shut than they are with the eyes open. All of them. If the world is so black that a fellow can see absolutely nothing with his eyes shut, just have him start marking things up black. It won't stay that way very long. Because he's taking over the automaticity, which is making the whole world black. All right, so we've got this problem of gradient scale again. If you can't do it all, do a little of it. You see, and nobody can do it all. All right, let's do a little. How little is a little of it? It's as little as he can handle and win. How much is too much of it? It's as much as he can't handle and win. That's how much too much of it is. It's enough to make him lose is too much. How much is enough? Enough to let him win. You say, unmark it. All right, the guy can't unmark anything in the room. Boy, he's got persistence like mad, you see. He can't unlock anything in the room. Well, have him mock something up and say it isn't there. Well, he didn't unmark it. It wasn't there in the first place. Well, you said it was there, so there's an implication that it was there. Well, yes. All right, now put something else up and say it quick that it isn't there. And in such a wise, you can get him unmarked some mock-ups. Or you can just start in and have some tiny part of mess disappear. Once in a while, he'll catch himself. You'll find out that the way he's making things unmark is by putting fog around them. Or he is squinting his eyes so that he won't look at that part of them. You know? Or he's dropping a black band in some fashion or another. Now, a person who has blackness, is handling blackness, is using it to use an occlusion instead of an unmark. Now, they don't think they can unmark something. Though they're damn well not going to let anything appear. Because there's too much there already. They have chosen their own machinery for their randomity. In other words, everything has gotten so automatic they can't handle it anymore. But sitting back of everything is that postulate must resist all effects. Well, I did not create this room and it must resist all effects. Then somebody comes in and paints it. Fellow walks in the next time, looks at it, and says, I'm wrong. You go down the street, knock on any door, and ask the family if they get upset when Mama moves around the furniture. They all do. You see, they had it all mocked up to resist all effects, and then somebody changed some tiny little portion of it. There's nothing unhappier than a preclear from whom this hasn't been clipped if you've changed in any. He's mocked up to resist all effects. Now you dog, you come along, and over his already, for many years, dead body, produce an effect. And he doesn't like you. It means your postulates are tougher than his postulates. This mustn't be. So we have a contest of whose postulates are going to out-postulate the other postulates. On this basis alone, the PC actually has lost track of what's wrong with him. That's all. He just lost track of the channel of agreement that got him where he is. Now he tries to go back. He's like a hunter who encounters a strange wood and dispenses with any guide whatsoever and goes thrashing through the woods and doesn't leave any blaze marks, steps off all the trails, forgets all of his woodcraft, wood lore, and frantically, suddenly, finds himself in a clearing, half starved to death, and doesn't know which way is north, south, east, or west. If he did know, he wouldn't know where the settlement is, and if he didn't know those two, he wouldn't be able to survive in the woods. He just lost and thrown away all of the guideposts because, you see, he didn't trust himself. So we have a situation obtaining there where everything must resist all effects. And, of course, that includes him. You see why we're doing the drills of turning things, variance, cars. Into the emotional line and so forth, you must put all the colors. In addition to emotion and ridicule and love and hate and so forth, these other emotions, and just start changing things different colors. I mean messed objects. And then change them different colors in brackets, and you'll learn quite a bit. You'll find out that you'll object to Joe suddenly becoming chartreuse. Because that's this postulate. And by these drills, we're just going to bust that postulate out of the whole flam-damn track, that's all. You can't unmake a facsimile very easily. If the facsimile is sitting there and you're still convinced that your postulates are stretched out in time and that on this mysterious time track, which you have never traveled, never will travel, everything must resist all effects. That's the conservation of energy. I told you, because particles wouldn't be destroyed, the engineer, the scientist, who wines and dines through all of his days, living hard by this conservation of energy, we can channel it, we can conduit it, we can make it into different compounds, but it must resist all effect. Day by day, he's sold on this. It must resist all effect. He goes around and proves it to everybody. He says, now look, we take this log of wood, and we measure it carefully. We weigh it carefully. And then we burn it, and we save its ash, and we save the residues of its smoke. And we put these all in a pile, and we demonstrate to you absolutely and conclusively that it weighs just the same as it did before. By the way, it doesn't. He accounts for this with heat loss. He just begs this stuff to resist all effect. Then he goes on happily working with it, trying to produce effects with it, trying to produce an effect with something that's supposed to resist all effects. So he's at once validating and invalidating himself, and he rides this tremendous maybe to a point where he can't undo his own postulates, because that's the basic postulate. He's validating it all the time. He and his fellow engineers are around showing each other, look, isn't this cute? It resists all effect. The right way to have an automobile is to have it go along very fast and resist all effect. Persistence is our motto. You see, persistence is actually the center of the curve. There is create, survive, and destroy as the curve of action. And that's create, persist, so on. So the mission on which life is engaged is apparently, while life is being lived, survive. But it will end on a curve with destroy. It will destroy or it will be destroyed. And it begins, of course, with create. And you want to get off persistence, you've got to rehabilitate creation. If you want to rehabilitate creativeness, you've got to get off persistence. So you've got to be able to alter things.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Well, the more we chug into this, and the more we alter directly and know we are altering, the flavor, color, shape, size, and particularly the emotional pattern and appearance. You're ready for color now because we're up into appearance. He just starts breaking out of the line. That beautiful postulate must resist all effects. Conservation of energy. Must have an effect, he thinks. Must have an effect, must have an effect, must have an effect. And then after a while, he gets to the point when the case is bad off. He's gotten to the point where I must resist all effects, and he keys that in. And the effect to have an effect keys out. So he starts losing all of his sexual enjoyment. He starts losing all kinds of fine things which he had in the past emotionally. And these things disappear, and he complains about it. He deserted one postulate for a new postulate, and now he's got both postulates. He must receive an effect. After he's gone along, he's lost contact with create, and so he's then turns around and he must receive an effect, and now the effect must persist. Now he must resist all effect. And there's about where everybody who doesn't exteriorize easily is hung up right there. How do you break this down? Just alter the stuff, alter mist, alter bodies, change their color, and then be able to unmock them enough till you can mock them up well. When somebody is using blackness to render other things invisible or to make things disappear, instead of making them disappear, he covers them with blackness. He certainly gets an interesting looking bank. It's a real mess. And he's unwilling to part with it because he still might have something there. But he's unwilling to part with the blackness because he might have to make something invisible sometime or another, you see. He wouldn't have a supply of it. He has to keep that around. And the blackness was put up there originally to resist all effects. You know, protective screens. So that's the way it goes. So it's one of these problems. It's a circular problem. How do you break out of it? By altering. Change. I show you, you can unmock something, make it thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker and thinner and thicker, and all of a sudden it'll disappear. So all right, he's made something disappear. You can actually get somebody up to a point where with these messed eyes, he sits right there and he looks something like this microphone and he says thinner, thicker, thinner, thicker. You finally get it to a point where it doesn't get thick when he says thin, you see. And eventually he'll be able to look right at, not only at the microphone, but through the microphone with his messed eyes. He finds this disturbing unless he can have it back again, so you have to drill him many times into having it back again. Otherwise his attention will arrest right on the point where he's supposed to see it. In order to keep from seeing it, he has to resist it. So it's still there to some degree. So you actually have to let him get it back several times before he's really willing to look right straight through it. The action is taking place when it's there. There is no action taking place when it's not there. And he tries to put action there when it's not taking place. Yes, he wants to hold it invisible. That's real dopey, you see. It isn't there. Yet you'll see guys being very careful to keep something invisible. Well, what are they doing to it? Holding up a whole series of mirrors or something? You're trying to look at it in a crazy fashion and so that they don't see it while they're still looking at it? This is like the fellow at first. He starts putting up fog around objects, or he starts occluding his eyesight, or he starts stretching bands of blackness across things in order to make them disappear. So there it is, and that's the way it goes. Now, as far as the process and the pattern of auditing, alteration is concerned, when you alter something, you make more of and less of on a sufficient gradient scale so that the free clear can win. So he's certain there is more of it and certain there is less of it. That's all. You work him under those scales. If he's not really certain about it, well, by golly, work with him until you got it certain that there's really less of it. Not by beating him. Let's make him work at it. Now, once in a while, one of these machines will show up or something of the sort. Well, boy, when they really show up, why, blow them up. Well, if he can't blow them up, well, I have him dispense of them by wasting them. It's real interesting that you would try all too fast to make an exact rote procedure out of something that is actually too high level to be much of a communication system. See, we're trying to destroy a communication system so that we can create it at will. See, communication systems. People use words to hold mess out after a while, you know. Do you ever see somebody who was an hysterical, non-sequitur conversationalist? Well, they're holding the walls and other people away from them, particularly other people away from them, with a barrage of words. They're using it something like a pole vaulter would use a pole sometimes, too. And they're holding the wall up. They're holding the door shut. And so forth, with a stream of words. The other person might fall at them if they stop talking. It's just a state of beingness. There he's using a symbol. That's really goofy. At the time, people were using symbols to keep the messed universe apart. You start mocking this person up with having things fall in on them. Yeah. Thing like that.
He let things fall in on him. Not till he finds out he can let things fall in on him. So you have to let him find out so he can be certain what he's doing. The essence of simplicity. Well, all right, you ask somebody to turn something blue, and he can't turn it blue. And this worries him a great deal. If this thing won't turn blue, well, have it be less blue. He got a machine, see, that makes things unblue. He can't get it blue, so he's got something that says, look, it can't be blue. We'll just make it less blue. And that'll put the machine into line for about a half of the turn. See, clank. It'll be less blue. Make things less black. All right, and after he's made it less blue, and less blue, and less blue, well, he'd make it a little more blue until you've got it back to its original color of blueness. That'll make it less blue again. Make it less blue. All of a sudden, he can make it blue as hell. Some people who are deeply immersed in symbolism, words will produce the most fabulous effects. Once in a while, somebody turns up that all during his youth, for his entire youth, why, the atmosphere around Mama was blue. Every time he saw Mama, the whole atmosphere turned blue. And the auditor immediately, you see, jumps to the conclusion there must be a phrase or something there. Mama used to keep saying how blue she was.